there. Come on in, make yourself at home. It's great to be with you today. My name is Gary Zimak, and this week on the program, and now this is going to be an interesting show. This is going to be one of those topics that is so important, but yet it's a little bit difficult to deliver. You know, I'm not so sure I want to hear what I have to say this week. No, but don't listen, it's really, really good, and let's just work through it. It's a tough one, though. The topic this week is needs versus wants. You know, we all think that there are certain must-haves in life that we absolutely need. Or I'm sorry, that we feel that we need them. But do we really need them, or do we just want them? You know, sometimes there's a difference there. And as we look at the Mass readings for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the readings address that very topic. God will absolutely provide for our needs. And I know I've made the point with you on this show and when I speak that he's provided for every one of our needs from the beginning of our existence, because otherwise we wouldn't be here if he didn't. So he's given us what we needed. Has he always given us what we wanted? No. I know in my case, there's many things I've asked for and I didn't get. And I didn't always handle it that well, because I like the things that I want. And when I pray about them, I want them. I'm not going to kid you. I do. But these readings are going to remind us that sometimes what we want isn't necessarily what we need. And it's such an important topic because it can make the difference between misery and peace. And once we begin, and look, I have not mastered this. I'm still working on this, and I know I'm going to be working on this for the rest of my life. And that's just the way it is. Once we've mastered this and come to some understanding that God will provide for everything we need, but not necessarily what we want, and learn to submit to his will, to surrender, and it's a tough thing to do for many of us, for me for sure. But once we do that, then there's going to be peace, because we know that he will give us what we need when we need it. But again, that's something we're going to have to be working on for the rest of our lives. Will we fully understand it ever? Probably not. But we can accept it. We can accept it. And I've gotten better at it with God's grace. I've gotten better at it than I was. But I still struggle. Because sometimes when we walk by faith, I should say all the time when we walk by faith, we got to place our trust in God. And that can be difficult. But this concept of wants versus needs, it is so important. And it really gives us an understanding of who God is and how much he loves us. So let's look at these readings. We'll talk about it. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to better understand this very difficult topic, especially in our day, current day and age. The idea of being deprived, not getting everything we want when we want it, it doesn't fly sometimes. It is not an easy idea to accept. So, that being said, why don't we turn to our Heavenly Father, who provides for all of our needs and has done so from the time we were first conceived. Let's turn to him now. And let's ask for his help. Please join me, if you will, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, well, you heard what I said. So, you know, Father, I know this is challenging. I think this is such an important topic. I'm grateful that through your Holy Spirit, you inspired the church to address this topic today on the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Because I think we need to know this. Especially when it comes to better following you, surrendering our lives to you, listening to what your son Jesus had to say. We've got to accept this. We won't always get what we want, but we will always get what we need. So, Father, I turn to you today, and I ask you to provide us today with what we need. Give us this day, Father, our daily bread. If that's good health, then please, yes, let us have good health. if we need it. And Father, I shudder to when I'm asking this. This is not an easy thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If we need to suffer in some way to draw closer to you, then we're okay with that. Because we want to draw closer to you, Father. Just grant us the grace we need to get through whatever difficulties we will go through in life. We pray, Father, for our church. We pray for world peace. We pray for those of us in the United States. We pray for an end to division and violence and hatred that we see every day. We pray for our leaders around the world, that they can make decisions and pass laws which really are good for the people and which uphold your commands, Father, and protect life at all stages. We pray for those who are discouraged or hopeless today, suicidal maybe. We pray for those who are searching for you, Father, and might not realize it. We pray for all the souls who are in most need of your mercy, Father. Please guide us all. Please speak through me on this program. Give me the words. Direct my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver your message today. And finally, Father, I ask that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can accept your message today and then put it into practice. And Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for hanging in there with me. Thanks for praying with me. And, you know, I do believe, of course, it's a difficult topic, but I do believe that really leaning into this topic, not trying to run away from it, just really trying to be open-minded about it, is going to bring us all peace. It really is. And it seems like anymore there's not a day that goes by where I'm challenged with something. And I look at the situation and I say, Father, I don't really get what's happening, but I trust that you know what you're doing. And you're allowing this to happen for my good and the good of anybody else involved. And that you absolutely can bring good out of this, whatever this is, even if I don't understand the details. I find myself doing that every day. And you know what? That's what faith is. That's what faith is. It's placing our trust in someone else. And in the case of Christian faith, it's choosing to place your trust in God, which isn't always easy because of our fallen human nature. It's not easy. And you don't have to feel it. And you know, it's funny, the older I get, I think the more I realize that faith isn't about feelings. Faith is about the will. It's a conscious decision. It's a gift. We get the gift of faith, gift of the virtue of faith when we're baptized. But then it's up to us to put it into practice, to use that gift. You know, somebody could hand you a box with a nice gift inside, all wrapped up with a bow, but if you don't open it, the gift is useless to you. And that's the same thing with the gift of faith. So much of finding peace in life and doing God's will and living a life of holiness has to do with faith and choosing to exercise our faith. So we'll talk about that in the readings today. Before we do that, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. And you can find out all about my books, find out about my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up for that at followingthetruth.com, totally free of charge. And I want to make known to you that I mentioned this before, that I have a new Advent book that's coming out. It may be out when you hear this. If not, it's going to definitely be out in a few days. Find Peace in Advent. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to Advent. Somebody asked me the other day, I was doing an interview, and they said, what's your elevator pitch for this new book, Find Peace in Advent? And I said, you know, to put it simply, it's give up worry for Lent for Advent because that's what it is. It's a daily devotional based upon the daily mass readings for the Advent season, similar to Give Up Worry for Lent. It's very simple to read each day. A couple minutes each day is all it takes. And the goal is to enable you to find peace in Advent by preparing to welcome Jesus more deeply into your life on Christmas. But I think it's a necessary book because, and it's one that I always wanted to write. It just, a couple things came together and I was able to write it. And that's how it usually is with my books. I feel the Holy Spirit moving me and certain ideas come into my mind and the book just tends to write itself. I know it doesn't write itself, but the Holy Spirit writes it through me. And that's what happened with this book. But look, Advent, those few weeks leading up to Christmas, they're incredibly stress-filled, aren't they? But that's not the way it's supposed to be. So how do we make that change? How do we find that peace that the Lord wants us to have and enable ourselves to make time to prepare for the coming of Jesus into our lives? Well, that's what I try to accomplish with the book. So anyway, it's Find Peace in Advent. You can look for it wherever you buy your books online. It will be available at Amazon from Ave Maria Press as well and other online sources. I will put a link on my website. I don't have it there now, but it's going to be there momentarily, hopefully any day now, maybe even by the time you listen to this. But Find Peace in Advent. I'll tell you more about it as we draw closer to the Advent season. But followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I'm going to put in one other bit of a commercial. You know, it's never easy for me to do this, but you know the deal. I've told you, if you listen to the program, that I am no longer traveling to speak because of my wife's condition. She now has been diagnosed with epilepsy. Praise the Lord, Eileen is doing well. The medicine is controlling things. She's good, but just it's not appropriate for me to travel anymore. So I can't travel around the country to speak. Obviously, there's a financial price that I have to pay because of that. So if you would like to support my ministry, help me out, I would greatly appreciate it. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. And I would especially appreciate a few more monthly donors. If you're willing to contribute a certain amount per month, it would really help me at this point in time. Again, I don't want to put pressure on you. These are not easy times in which we live financially. A lot of people are struggling. But if you're able to do so, it would help me to continue my full-time ministry. And by the way, I'm still going to be speaking locally in the Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware area, maybe a little further than that. As long as I can get home at night, I'm fine with speaking. And you will hear more about that as we go through in the upcoming weeks, especially when it comes to the Advent season. I have at least three Advent parish missions scheduled, and I could maybe fit in a few more single dates. But if you want to get in touch with me, just reach out to me through the website, followingthetruth.com, and the donations are very much appreciated. All right, let's look at these mass readings again for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Needs versus Wants. I'm going to start, as I always do, with the gospel message. Let the gospel lead the way. Then we'll back up a little bit and let the other readings supplement the message in the gospel. The gospel comes from John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. And the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. They themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." And what he's referring to is the feeding of the 5,000. And he's saying to these certain people, you're not looking for me because you recognize that this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was a sign that I'm the Son of God, that I am divine. You're not looking for me for that reason. You're looking to get more stuff. And there's a big difference there. That's what Jesus is saying. And then he goes on to say, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And, you know, what the Lord is saying, and again, not an easy message to accept sometimes, especially if you really have material wants or desires. He's saying, I, Jesus, am all you need. I will give you what you need. Because ultimately, and this is where it gets tricky, the Lord's concern is not that we're comfortable in this life. The Lord's concern is that we make it to heaven, that we live with him eternally in heaven. And in order to make that possible, because again of our fallen human nature, he's got to work with us and sometimes allow us to go through suffering and difficulties and times of want. You know, we can't have everything. This world isn't heaven. Because what he's trying to do, one thing he's trying to do, is help us to understand that this life is passing away. The more we think that this life is heaven and that all of our needs are satisfied here, the less our desire will be to go to heaven because we're happy here. And one of the benefits of growing older, and I'm witnessing this now firsthand, is that you begin to realize that your body's breaking down, things are changing. People are dying. It's not as easy to get around anymore. You know, and this is a good thing because it helps to detach us from the things of the world. Now, listen, this doesn't mean you can't ever enjoy yourself. The Lord created enjoyment. He realizes we're material beings. Having a good meal, watching a good program, watching a good ball game or something. All good stuff. But you don't want to neglect your relationship with God because you're too busy having a good time. You want to keep one eye on those spiritual treasures which are going to help you to get to heaven. The good thing is, and this is sort of paradoxical, a little hard to understand, the good thing is that having a relationship with the Lord and making time for him, it's going to bring you greater peace in this life than just going out and looking for stuff and entertainment. But sometimes it's hard to accept that. And again, I like some good music. I like a good meal. I like my dessert at times. I like to watch sports. But I understand that can't be my main goal in life. My main goal is following God, knowing him, loving him, and serving him. It has to be. But that's also going to bring me the happiness I seek. Let's look at the first reading now, Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 2. The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, would that we had died at the Lord's hands in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine, which is pretty funny. I mean, the people are mad. They were happy. They wanted to be slaves. Look, you took Moses, you took us from this life of slavery, but we had good food. Our stomachs were filled with bread, and now we have to struggle. Never mind that we're not slaves anymore and you're leading us to freedom. We like good food. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will now rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day the people are to go out and gather their daily portion. Thus will I test them to see whether they follow my instructions or not. I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, in the evening twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God. See, the Lord wants to provide for his people. Maybe not in the way that they want to be provided for. They're looking for that good bread, that stuff that they used to eat. In the evening, quail came and covered up the camp. In the morning, a dew lay all about the camp. And when the dew evaporated, there on the surface of the ground were fine flakes like hoarfrost on the ground. On seeing it, the Israelites asked one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. But Moses told them, "This is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Now, it's not mentioned here, but the people weren't too happy about this. They wanted tastier bread. The Lord was providing, but they wanted more. You see the difference? Their focus is too narrow. And the Lord's trying to take them through Moses to a better place, to get them out of slavery, like he's doing for us. But in order for that to happen, some suffering will be involved. They wanted nothing to do with it. They were short-sighted. And I think we could all be the same way. I want this. God, I want this. Why don't I have it? But by having some of these things that we really want but don't necessarily need, we could jeopardize our chances of living forever in heaven. And that's hard to understand because the concept of eternity and heaven does not come easy to us. We don't really know exactly what it's like. And that's why faith matters. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 78, the Lord gave them bread from heaven. What we have heard and know and what our fathers have declared to us, we will declare to the generation to come, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his strength, and the wonders that he wrought. He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained manna upon them for food and gave them heavenly bread. Men ate the bread of angels, food he sent them in abundance, and he brought them to his holy land, to the mountains his right hand had won. The Lord gave them bread from heaven. So in that responsorial psalm, we see the fact that the Lord was providing for the needs of his people. He sustained their lives. Now he's only giving it to them one day at a time because he realized what would happen if he gave them a year's supply of food to eat. What would happen? They'd forget about him, exactly. And that's why Jesus, when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, he very specifically taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Because he knew what would happen if we got our daily bread for a year. We might forget to talk to God tomorrow. Remember, the Lord is his primary concern, again, is getting us to heaven, but pertaining to right now instead of, yes, he's looking to get us to heaven, but on a daily basis, he wants to make sure that we have a relationship with him. He wants us to pray every day. So therefore, we have a need to be met today. What are we going to do? We're going to turn to God and ask for that help. As opposed to giving us food for a year, meeting our needs for a year, we might only turn to him next year. You know, so he's primarily looking for a relationship, one that will last into eternity, as opposed to just keeping us happy by filling our stomachs with bread. Let's look at the second reading. It's from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. It begins in verse 17. "Brothers and sisters, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." Boom, right there. Because the Gentiles, he's talking about the people who are just living for pleasure. They're worshiping pagan gods, and they're just looking for that good-tasting bread. If it feels good, do it. That's what they're looking for. He said, no, you can't live like that anymore. "In the futility of their minds, that is not how you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard of him and you were taught in him as truth is in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life." In other words, it's not all about pleasure. If you want a relationship with God, if you're looking for ultimate peace and happiness and living with him forever in heaven, you can't keep doing things the same old way. Put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires. See those wants. I want this. This feels good. I want it. I don't care if God wants me to do this or not. I want this. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth. In other words, make that decision that you can either do things your way and get that instant gratification, or you can maybe suffer a little bit, maybe not do everything you want, but do it God's way, understanding that at some point in time, you're going to be greatly rewarded for this, but you sort of have to put off that immediate reward. I'll give you a quick example. We're just about out of time, but over the past several months, I was trying to lose some weight. So I was able to finally, after many years, I've always been kind of thin, but over the past 30 years, I tended to go a little crazy and just put on some excess weight, which I absolutely didn't need. But I finally made it a point to get serious about this and cut out some, extra carbs, cut out some sugar, and it's worked. I've lost about 25, 30 pounds, which is really good. I'm not going to go down much more than that, but it's something I really wanted to do. Now, I see pictures on social media of nice-looking donuts and cakes and things that I used to really never hesitate to eat, but I understand that if I go for that pleasure all the time and stuff those donuts in my mouth, I'm not going to be able to lose the weight. And right now I feel pretty good physically. I like it. I like the feeling. But that requires me to suffer a little bit. And that's the same way it is with our spiritual journey. Be willing to forego some of your wants and let the Lord provide for your needs. That's the way you're going to get to heaven, and that's the way you're going to find happiness. All right, thank you for listening. I've got to run. Followingthetruth.com is my website. I thank you in advance for your donations. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. You are, as always, in my prayers. And I look forward to joining you, God willing, next week on the program. Bye-bye now.